God is good. Are you ready for? How many are ready for the word? So, Father, I pray that, Lord, people will not hear my voice, but hear your voice, God. And, Father, when the scriptures is being presented, they will hear God speak to them. You speak to them, Father. Speak to us. I pray, Father, you open the eyes of our hearts, open our spirit to receive from heaven today. Your kingdom come, Lord, in our midst as we listen to you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. From orphan to sonship. That's not a new message, but it is one of the foundational messages in the new scriptures, in the New Testament. How many believe that is true? Last couple of Sundays ago, I preached about the power of the blessing. And that is one of the key when you bless your children, that they actually become mature sons and daughters. That is one of the amazing powers that we have as parents to propel our kids into the future that God has for them, using the power of blessing. Amen? And last Sunday we talked about the Holy Spirit. And today I want to talk to you about how the Holy Spirit brings us from orphans to sons and daughters. And so Jesus is preparing his church for his absence. And he shares this with us in John chapter 14. Let's read it together. If you love me, keep my commands, and ask the Father, and he'll give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you realize that I am in my Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. Jesus is about to leave. He's going to be crucified in the next day or two. He's going to rise. He's going to appear to them. And then he's going to ascend into heaven. Now he's saying to them, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send somebody else. I'm going to send somebody else. And the world does not know this person, cannot see them, do not recognize them, but you do. And the reason you do is because he is in you. Who is he? He's the Holy Spirit. How many has the Holy Spirit in you? How many knows him? And you see, because of the Trinity, this is amazing things happen. That even though we don't have Jesus in the physical form, he's saying, I'm going to come and be with you. Well, how can he be with us when he's not here in the physical form? And yes, he came back from resurrected and he appeared to them for 40 days, but then he ascended. So how can he be with us? He can be with us because of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, my friends, is the Spirit of Christ. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you have what? Christ in you. And in fact, if you read a little further in John 14, it says that if you obey his commandments and love him, the Father and Son will come and make their home in you. You become a dwelling place of God. You become one with the Trinity. I got one amen. But I think that is a pretty good news. Amen? I got two. So when it talks about orphan, I want to explain a little bit. But first I want to say there's the promise, right? And the promise is that the advocate. How many have different versions of the Bible? They call it the helper, or they call it the comforter. But I was reading the Passion Bible, and he had his footnote. And in the footnote it says, the Aramaic word for paraclete, for see, paraclete is that Greek word that we translate the advocate. It has two roots, prag, to end, finish, or to save. Lydia, which means to curse. What a beautiful bird picture, he says. The Holy Spirit comes to end the work of the curse in our lives and to save us from its every effect. I don't know if you didn't hear me, but I'm going to say it again. That paraclete comes from two words. One is the end and curse. And it means the Holy Spirit comes to end the curse. Comes to end the curse. What is this curse? The curse, of course, is sin. But the sin leads to an orphan spirit. People who are lost. And he came to take that curse on the cross of Calvary. Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is the cry of an orphan. But he did that so that you and I could be accepted. How many believes that's true? In Galatians chapter 3, it says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on the pole. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given through Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith you might receive the promise of the Spirit. My friends, he took the curse so that we could become accepted by the Heavenly Father. Jesus did two things. He died on the cross for our sins, and he revealed the Father, your Father. Remember, when he came to this earth, he often talked about his Father. But then one day they asked him, teach us how to pray. And then he said, not my Father, but he says, our Father who art in heaven. It is your Father. It is your Father. An orphan is somebody without parents. A spiritual orphan is somebody who does not feel or experience they have a heavenly Father who cares for them, protects them, provides for them, and do the two other things, propels them into identity and destiny. So what is this curse? Where did they actually come from? It came from the beginning in Genesis. How many remember Genesis? God creates Adam and Eve. Adam means man, Eve means life giver. He gives them identity, and he gives them a purpose. What's the purpose? Go and multiply and subdue the earth. Take care of the earth. Take care of my garden. Take care of what has been created. That's for you to do. And then what did they do? They hear the voice of the enemy. Remember? And he comes along and he says in Genesis 3, is it true that you cannot eat of any of the trees in the garden? And they said, no, we can eat of all the trees except for the one in the middle. If we eat of that tree, we'll die. And then comes the lie. No, you will surely not die. You'll become like gods. And you know what? The fruit was tempting. And so Eve took it. And she handed it to Adam. At the moment they took the bite, they felt they were naked. And they clothed themselves with fig leaves, and they went and hid because they heard God coming. God was coming in the garden. And he said, "Where are you? Where are you?" Let me just recapture this. Because what happened there wasn't merely they took something they shouldn't have. How many have ever done something you shouldn't have? That was not really the key problem here. Do you know what the key problem was? That they believed the promise that we become like gods. And if they believed that, they actually believed that God held something away from them and that he was not a good God. So the hearts was turned against the Father who created them by believing a lie. That's the problem. And so when they ate it, they felt shame. And my friends, the key, one of the keys of a person who has an orphan spirit is they feel shame and guilt. Not all shame is caused by what you have done. Some shame is caused by what has been done towards you. But shame is some, you know, as we have learned in ancient path, shame is, I'm something wrong with me. And that's what an orphan spirit feels. An orphan person with an orphan spirit feels. And they hide. They're no longer happy in their own skin. So they hide. And then God comes along and says, "Where are you?" God doesn't need to ask that question. He knows exactly where you are. But you need to know that he's calling you. He's calling everybody with an orphan spirit. And they come out and he said, "Well, we were naked, so we went and hide." And he goes on to say this, "Well, who told you? Who told you?" Do you know people with an orphan spirit? They come into a church like this on a Sunday morning. And they automatically believe that nobody loves them. They automatically believe that they're not accepted. They actually feel that nobody really cares. And so they isolate themselves. But who told you that? Who told you that you were not valuable? Who told you that you were not worthy? Who told you that? Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Are you with me? So I'm going to get back to that in a few minutes. But what happens here is Eve says, no, Adam says, "She made me do it." And Eve said, "Satan made me do it." Are you with me? And that's another sign of an orphan-spirited person. They will tend to blame somebody else. It's not my fault, it's somebody else's fault. Then they get escorted out of the garden. They no longer are in a relationship with the Heavenly Father. They are indeed orphans. And that's the curse. Every one of us, because of Adam and Eve, are born outside the presence of our Heavenly Father. We are not automatically in his sons and daughters. We need to be born again. That's the sad, that's good news. But why did God do that? Let me tell you why. If you ever have a teenager in your house, and the teenager in your house is become a real jerk, I call him he, okay, because I can identify with he. And he becomes a real jerk. And he begins to say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. It's going to be my way. And I'm going to come home when I want to come home. And I'm going to eat what I want to eat. What do you think the father eventually says? There can't be two rulers in this house. Either you submit to this house, or here is the door. There can be two gods in heaven. If you think you're going to be God, here's the door. Bye. When you come to your senses, I'm more than willing to bring you home. How many knows that the entire rest of the Bible is actually God the Father trying to bring his children back? How many has ever had a rebellious son or a daughter? And your heart breaks for them. So does the Heavenly Father breaks for anyone who's lost. What did Jesus come to do? To seek and save who are what? Lost. An orphan is lost. They do not know where they go. They do not know the purpose. And they're wandering and squandering their life. So Jesus came to the cross to break that curse. To break the curse. They've been not living lost. And he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit do? In Romans 8, verse 14, I think it is. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit we receive does not make you slaves, so you live in fear again. We all had an orphan spirit, more or less. That's why we're lost. However, I remember living in fear that I will never measure up. I will somehow never be quite good enough. If you think you're going to earn your way into the kingdom, that's an orphan spirit thinking. How many has been there? And he says, for when the Spirit comes, you no longer live in fear. Why? You're not going to be slaves, so you live in fear again. Slaves always strive. Always strive. And I find with orphan-spirited people, they wanted to let other people know that they're valued. So they try to show off. Or they try to, look what I have done. They want so desperately to be noticed. Because they never were noticed by the parents. My little grandson said to Nanny, am I your favorite? Am I your favorite? And she said, well, you're all my favorite. And he hung his head. Hung his head. We all want to be favorite. And for people who have an orphan spirit, they think they can do it by doing things. And sometimes they become very hyper at doing things. That's one side of the orphan spirit. The opposite side is rebellious. If you don't respect me, I go, heck with you. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. How many has been there? How many has ever experienced that rebellious spirit and said, heck with you. All your laws and rules and whatever, heck with you. And off you go. See how good that's going to do you. So here it comes. The Holy Spirit comes. The Holy Spirit comes. And this is what it does. The Spirit received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, go into Jerusalem and wait upon the Holy Spirit. And when the power of God comes on you, you'll be my witnesses where? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What does it mean to be a witness? And as Pentecostals, we think, I'm going to put my hand on the sick and they get healed. I'm going to preach the sermon and everybody gets saved. And yes, that's part of the power. But do you know what the even more important is? The power that changes us from being orphans to become sons. We come to reflect Jesus. What did Jesus reflect? When he came into this earth, he came as a son. Hello? He came as a son of the Father. And what does he do? One day he's 12 or 13 years old. They can't find him, remember? And he gets into the temple. He's in the temple. And he's talking to the theologians. And mom and dad comes looking for him. And what does he tell them? I think it's King James. He says, what does he tell them? About my what? Father's business. You see, as an orphan, I'm not about my father's business. I'm about my business. And my business is to be valued and respected. And I will use relationships so I can find that value and that respect. I'm doing marriage counseling. And I heard the one say, she never respects me. She never honors me. But what I hear is the orphan spirit feeling desperately on a daily basis to be affirmed. That really a spouse can never fully do, but only God can. So when you're an orphan, you have a mission, and that is to self-protect. And it's to show the world that you actually are somebody. But truly on the inside, you don't feel you're anybody. And you're really afraid that anybody, if they really knew you and trusted you, that somehow they wouldn't like you. So you put a mask on a daily basis saying, I'm good, I'm great. But inside, you feel lonely and lost. God knew that if the disciples was going to be a witness to a world that was in many cases very hostile, they needed to know what it meant to be a son. And a son is somebody like Jesus who submits to the Father's mission. When you heard Jesus, he always says, I can do nothing apart from what I see the Father do. The words I speak are not my own. They are my Father's. When you go from being an orphan to become a son or a daughter of God, it's no longer about you, self-preservation. It's about Him. And it starts here. It starts with a revelation of His unconditional love for you. While you were still a sinner, He died for you. Amen. So the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit comes to change your orphan heart. That somehow in the midst of that, now you begin to experience that you're accepted, you're loved, you are never forsaken. He will never leave you. He will always be with you. And He calls you His own. In fact, when you had the revelation, you will know that you are His favorite. You are his favorite. We sing a song, no, you tear down walls. How did that go, Paul? Oh, one. Reckless love. Can you just... everybody disappears. That's fine. Paul, there's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb. Coming after who? Put a finger here. Coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down. Coming after who? Me. The very... Pardon? You know, in the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in other tongues. So if the Holy Spirit comes on me and I can sing, then you know it's definitely the Holy Ghost. Amen. He sent his Son because he's pursuing you. Not just to forgive your sins, not just get you into heaven, but that actually you become a child of God. Would you give a little child $1 million? Would you give a little child $1 million? No. Because if you did, what would they do with it? They'll blow it on Disneyland or somewhere like that. But if you have a mature son who's about your mission, you wouldn't have a problem because you know he's not going to use that money on himself. Because he used it to further the mission of the Father. So, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes to end this message. How many believe this is true? You know, if... one, I loved your worship. Thank you, one. Bless you. You see, there's Renee... She went, Paul. Now, Paul and Renee leads worship, right? So if I say, one, I really appreciate you. Now, if Paul has an orphan spirit, or Renee has, she's thinking to herself, well, what about me? What about me? Do you see that? But if they are sons and daughters of God, they say, I love one's worship, and I celebrate when somebody else rises up and becomes great. If I have an orphan spirit as a father, and my son becomes a better preacher than me, I'll become jealous. But if I have a heart of a son, I will celebrate when somebody rises up and is more anointed and better than me. Amen. So, how do we get there? We get there with a relationship with the Holy Spirit. It comes through faith. It comes through submission. It comes to surrender to what he says. How many knows repentance? What does repentance mean? We all know this means I'm sorry for what I've done, right? But it actually means something else. It means turn and come in agreement with God. So when you say to me, I'm a lost, I'm useless, I'm a failure, no one loves me, I'm not accepted. My answer, my question to you is then, who said so? Who told you that? Where did that come from? Because, my friends, it did not come from God. And so repentance is God. And this is a daily fight. So when the enemy comes and says, Hans, you have messed up. That sermon was the lousiest thing I've ever heard. Nobody follows you. Nobody cares. then I have to take authority and say, I come now in agreement with what God says. And what does he say? Hans, I don't care about how bad your sermon is. You are my son. And I love you. You don't have to earn your way in my heart. It is not your performance that gives you my love. I love you. I love you. So when the orphan spirit comes and brings jealousy, insecurity, you need to stand on what God says about you. And I don't want to go into that more today, but when the Holy Spirit begins to interact with you, he begins to show you every place where you closed your heart to the people who were influential in your life, like mom and dad. We talked about that before, and I'm not going to do that again, but that is number one. You need to ask the Holy Spirit, who have I closed my heart towards? And bring forgiveness. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit, is to be able to forgive. Amen. Okay, I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And you know what the Bible says? You can ask the Father for more of him. Go for it.
So I'm just trying to be obedient to the Lord this morning. After everybody got up there and danced around a little bit, I was sitting there afterward, and I just really felt like the Lord was stirring my heart, and I was just like, okay, Lord, what's the deal? And I was having a little conversation with him while I was preaching, and I just felt like God was showing me, like, we don't really think of it a lot of times. You get up and you sing or you dance or whatever, but I felt like God was saying, you have no idea what was happening and what was being accomplished in the spiritual realm when we engage with him in worship. And I don't know if you noticed, but I felt this absolute shift in the atmosphere when I went to sit down after. And like the Lord was doing something. And so I just, in obedience to that, I was saying, okay, Lord, so what, you know, what do we do with that? And I felt like he was saying that some of us today have been up against a wall. We've been up against, you know, feeling like we're up against the mountain, and it's not been moving. And sometimes, you know, it's neat we put this up after too, because it totally fits. Sometimes you have to fight. You know, you have to pray, you have to stand, you have to intercede, you have to fast. And sometimes you just worship and let the Lord fight for you. And I just felt like this morning, this is one of those moments where God was saying, I want to fight for you. Just watch what I can do. And so I just really feel for some people this morning, if you've been up against the wall, like if you really feel, and this could be lots of situations, it could be like at work where you just feel like you're struggling with people you're working with, or the circumstances are not good. It could be a relationship you have with your spouse or one of your kids where it's like, you know, it's just not working and things aren't changing. It could be something you just feel is totally out of your control and you don't know what to do. Whatever. I just feel like the Lord wants to fight for you this morning. And I feel like almost like that act of obedience, just getting out and engaging your heart. It was like it was just in the Old Testament where the Israel sent out the worship team in front of the army. And the enemy would flee because of the presence of God coming. And I feel this morning that the enemy is going to flee from some of you and what the walls that have been there, that things are going to break. And so I don't quite know how to do this, but I just want to encourage you. If that's you this morning, would you stand? Because I want to pray. So if you feel like you've been up against something, anything, and it's just like this wall, this mountain has been there and it's not been moving, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a situation at work, or maybe it's a bondage in your life, some sort of addiction or whatever, where you just have not been able to find freedom. Any area in your life that you need freedom, that you need breakthrough, then I just encourage you to stand. And so here's sort of the little picture that I had while I was sitting there. If you're standing, would you just come, maybe we'll just do it at the front, and just grab a hand with somebody else. Why don't you guys right here, why don't you back up against the pew there, and we can sort of make like a oval or egg shape, whatever you want to call it. We can just make a circle. If you guys want, you can come in and close it up here. Come in this way. Just wrap around. We'll face each other. So I really think that this is one of those moments too where the Lord wants to show us how important it is to learn to worship and to engage our hearts in what he does. And so and the rest of you guys, if you would just help me pray for everyone here. You know, God knows the situation. He knows exactly what the issue is. But I believe that he wants to fight for us this morning. And so let's all pray. And you know the situation, so you place that at the Lord's feet and you just begin to worship him, give thanks. Thank him for the victory that's coming. All right, that's actually one of the words for praise in the Bible is to thank him, to give thanks before he does it. It's an act of faith saying, Jesus, thank you, before he even moves on your behalf. And so, Lord, we lift up these people. We lift up every situation, every circumstance. God, you know exactly what it is. And I thank you, Jesus, that sometimes you tell us that to just sit back and watch you fight for us. Watch you win the victory because you're our guard, you're our fortress, you're our deliverer. You're a mighty warrior, Jesus, and you go out and you deliver us. And we thank you, Jesus. And Lord, we just speak to every wall and every mountain that's in our lives, whether it's bondage, whether it's broken relationships, whether it's rebellion, whether it's issues with our in our marriages, whatever it might be, God, we just break them in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray for freedom. We command the walls to come down in Jesus' name. And God, we ask for that shift and we thank you for the victory that's coming. Lord, we thank you. We speak to the mountain and we say, go in the name of Jesus. You will not hold me down anymore. You will not stop me from going forward in what the Lord has for me anymore in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you for the victory. We thank you for the victory, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. Come on, just keep praying. Just press in. Give thanks this morning. God, we thank you. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you will not reject us. You will not abandon us. Thank you, Lord. You will never leave us or forsake us. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We invite you to come. We invite you to come. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.